Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
Hey. I don't know. We got some stuff. We got some fun things here. We have a late legend. We have a returning queen.
Wow.
And then a bunch of other things. An unexpected collaboration that is,
oh.
I feel like, right up my alley as well as Lindsay's alley.
So good.
But let's start with rolling the dice in my head. Let's start with Prince.
Yeah.
So we have a new Prince album, which is, of course, a strange thing to say since he died 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Prince, who in his lifetime was ridiculously prolific, but also super cagey about his material, compiled a vault. It was a vault in Paisley Park. And he would put all these sessions of songs that either didn't make albums or alternate versions. And following his passing, Warner Brothers made a deal with his estate. And they basically gave this one guy, Michael Howe, who was an A&R who worked with Prince during the last few years of his lives. They kind of designated him chief archivist. And Michael Howe, you know, started going through this jumble of various tapes and whatnot.
Oh, what a job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's like, obviously the circumstances are tragic. I mean, I'd rather have Prince alive. But, you know, that being said, that is quite a dream job to, like, be given basically the keys to the kingdom and be like, go through this and listen to whatever you want. And, you know, we saw Purple Rain. They did an anniversary reissue with a bonus disc, which was fantastic. This is the next kind of unreleased release. It's a session from 1983. It's called Piano and a Microphone. The name Piano and a Microphone is not something Prince attached to it. The session was literally just Prince sitting down with maybe one other person in the room and them kind of monitoring the levels, and he just hit record on a cassette tape and played a piano for 35 minutes, and this collection is 9 songs from that. 7 of them are originals. One of them, International Lover, was on the 1999 album, which came out before this session. One of them is an early version of Purple Rain, which of course would go on to become his signature hit when he recorded it with The Revolution the following year. And then some other ones, I think there's maybe 3 that were never before released that fans, I mean, they've been bootlegged, they've been available in very shoddy quality bootlegs over the years. But since Prince in his lifetime was very litigious when it came to people posting things on the internet, Prince bootlegs were super hard to track down, more so like Dylan, for instance. Like, you know, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Bob Dylan bootleg.
What is that?
That's
that actually is a euphemism.
Yeah, what? that's like a 1930s phrase. Yeah. Like, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting.
Oh,
yeah, it's,
no.
It's true.
Anyways, Prince. So the fact that these are Prince bootlegs finally released is a big deal because, like, these are nearly impossible to find over the years. One of them is Wednesday, which is this really lovely ballad that he actually was going to give to the actress Jill Jones, and she was going to sing it in the Purple Rain movie. They filmed it. They ended up cutting the scene. But here we have, for the first time, the official release of his version of it. But the song I wanted to hone in on is called Cold Coffee and Cocaine, because I'm sitting here with one of those things. I'll let you, the listener at home, decide.
He's sitting with cold coffee.
But yeah, it's this 5-minute song, and it's just anyway. So the whole session is really just runs the emotional gamut. It's one of the tunes is "Mary, Don't You Weep," which is an African American spiritual. We hear Prince kind of sniffling during it, so that's like this really emotional moment. The song I picked, "Cold Coffee and Cocaine," is like the other side of it. Like it's super goofy. He's adopting this gruff, weird vocal affectation the whole time. You know, he would do that occasionally on songs, not really on his album tracks so much. But yeah. There's a song called Bob George where he adopts this super machismo personality with this weird voice. So he had a history of doing kind of like weird voices on his more rare tracks. And this is one of those. Why did he do this? You know, we don't know. He was goofing around. Two, occasionally, if he was doing
Prince, that's what they call him, goofing around.
Occasionally, he would do these weird voices if he was writing a song that he knew he wanted Morris Day of the Time to sing, because Morris Day has a deeper voice than him. Uh-huh. So that was like kind of having a little fun. But yeah, I mean, this song is just. It's him.
I can't tell if you like it or not.
Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I'm rambling, but yeah, it's just a real like treat to have something like this. But the full release, and then also to have a song where we're listening to someone who is very emotionally, you know, he didn't share his personal life with people ever, and so to kind of get a glimpse into Prince having a little bit of fun is a rare thing and a very special thing.
Yeah.
So, but now that I've blathered. And dropped some 1920s slang. What do you guys think about this?
So as a big Prince fan, but more on the surface, you know, mm-hmm. he's the type of artist where his fans, like yourself, know almost everything. So for me to listen to it, I just had no idea he could play the piano like that.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest thing to hear for 30 minutes or however long it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful album. Everything flows really, really seamlessly. Like I often didn't realize when a new track was starting unless mm-hmm. I recognized it. So that was great. And then he also sounds a little bluesy on here. And you mentioned that when you said that he was like a little more raspy and hoarse sounding mm-hmm. on some songs. So yeah, just to see like Prince, this mega pop star, in a very, very different light is really, like you said, a treat.
Yeah.
My thing is just like, and I agree with that completely, but it always just feels a little ghoulish when we get the Prince stuff that he didn't want out there.
Well, yeah, and I think didn't want is wrong.
Like
okay.
I meant to mention this, but I didn't. Part of the reason he kept this vault of archives is he didn't want this stuff lost. He you know, he was very prolific and he was kind of mercurial, so he would record songs but then decide they just didn't fit for the project or it wasn't something he wanted to devote time to in terms of a studio release and move on. But he made a point to like have this vault because he didn't want them to get lost. Like if he didn't like something, he deleted it or erased it or whatever. And the guy, so I interviewed the archivist, and he, in the last few years of his life, there was talks between Prince and Warner Brothers, and Prince had indicated basically he was like, he didn't want to release the vault things during his lifetime, but he had made statements that were basically like, you know, this stuff will see release after I'm dead. So he like knew that and was okay with it.
All right. Well, that's all right. Well, then I retract my ghoulishness. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously great to get this type of intimate look at him and these songs. Yeah, I mean, it's. I want to hear it again without that type of hesitancy, I guess.
All right.
Well, it's just because like it's someone that I think that preserving something and releasing something are such different things, and I know that if he wanted to preserve it and just release it someday, I do wonder like is this the form that this genius would have released this? You know what I mean? It's just I don't know. I mean, maybe like he thought about this like 2.5 years after I pass away, like this will come out. I'm sure he didn't think of it in such specificity, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just I struggle with it, Joe.
All right. I feel like you're looking to gift horse straight in the mouth, Jason.
Yeah. Well, what can I say?
What are these?
Yeah.
What is that?
Wow.
Wait, you don't know that one?
We're gonna teach Lindsay all these phrases on the podcast. Come hell or high water.
Yeah, I've exactly. Heard
that. All right. Well,
one for three.
One for three.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. It's Prince song is Cold Coffee and Cocaine, and it's from a new release from 1983 called Piano and a Microphone.
Last time, baby, I eat over your place. That's all I get. Just a cup of cold coffee, cocaine, your ugly face. Look out. You can't fuck with that.
That was New Prince. Next up, let's talk about Avril.
Yes.
Avril Lavigne.
You're looking at me, but it wasn't my choice somehow.
Oh, was it? Wait.
It was all of our
It was all of our
oh,
choice.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that's true. It was a Lindsay pick.
Oh, yeah.
So Avril Lavigne, forever. Head Above Water.
Oh, yes. First song in 5 years. I think a lot of people are disappointed. I'll get that out there now. Looking at you.
disappointed. Disappointed is a little strong, but go ahead.
I understand it's not what people may have wanted or expected. It's more of a ballad, a little bit sad even. But she's been going through the most difficult time of her life, so to me it makes sense that she would pull inspiration from that. I could also see, obviously, if she was like, this has been really rough, I want to keep releasing fun mm-hmm. pop songs, but it's not where her head was at. She put this really...
Where is her head? It's above water.
Well done.
Oh, boy.
Nice assist.
That was rough.
So, yeah, she put this incredibly personal letter on her website before the release saying that she was basically lying in bed really, really sick, battling Lyme disease. Her mom crawled into bed with her, and in that exact moment, she actually thought that she was going to die. Her body was just shutting down, and that's sort of when she found the inspiration again to write, because... like she couldn't, you know, she was having a hard time figuring out how to put this together, and that's why it's felt like this album has been in talks or on its way for so long, because I really do, I'm talking like I'm a close personal friend, I'm not obviously, but I really do think that she's been wanting to put new music out. It's just been a hard time. So naturally the song does have a bit of a darker, more somber tone to it, and I'm fine with it because it's new Avril. I think she sounds great on it.
She does sound great.
Back. Yeah, her voice sounds really, really nice on this. And Nolan Feeney had a really nice piece about how her last big hit was Here's to Never Growing Up.
Right.
And then this is like her most mature sounding mm-hmm. song yet. And I think that is fine.
There you go. I would not say I'm disappointed in this song. Okay. I actually do enjoy it. I think my disappointment is that I really like the kind of fun and frothiness of a typical Avril Lavigne lead single.
Yeah.
Like if you just think about her lead singles in the past, you have, you know, Complicated, you have Girlfriend, you have What the Hell, you mm-hmm. have Here's to Never Growing Up. And then you like to get to this song, it's just like I feel like I would have appreciated this more if it was just the second single or an album track. Like I don't really have anything against the song. I just like, as an Avril Lavigne fan, like I want that like,
and I think it'll be there.
Yeah,
I don't know. You think so?
Yeah, I don't think the entire album will be this sort of tone.
Yeah, I don't. I doubt it as well. But no, I it's great to have her back. I loved her album from 5 years ago, and recommend it to anyone I see on the street. I'm like,
Avril.
Hey, listen to Avril from 2013.
You just press a CD copy into their hands, yep. And they're like, I don't own a CD player. And
do you
like,
want to listen to a pop album that includes duets with both Marilyn Manson and Chad Kroeger?
Not really.
This one's for you. This one's for you.
Yeah, no, I think, I don't know. Yeah, it's like catchy, especially, you know, for a very dramatic pop ballad. It's catchy enough, which is sometimes tough to pull off with mm-hmm. something this serious. You know, it's not fun, but obviously she's not in a fun spot in her life right now. You know, she went through a divorce, is battling Lyme's disease. I mean, I think the story behind the song is more interesting than the song itself. I mean, it's just, it's pretty standard stuff. I mean, the strings are a bit, like, overly dramatic. The lyrics are... you know, I can't see in the stormy weather or a little bit trite, but it's fine. It's...
I think it's a good reintroduction. That's my take.
Yeah, I think it is.
I mean, it
almost like she had to sort of say these things,
yeah.
Some of them. I mean, yeah, some of the lyrics are a little like, couldn't think of something else there.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of this had to be said in order for her to
Sure.
Move on. Find peace.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fine. But I guess, you know, you guys like it. That's good.
Like it. Thanks, Joe.
I do like it.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It's Avril Lavigne, new song, Head Above Water. I keep my head above water. All right, that was new Avril. Let's do, so what do we have from Mr. Lipschutz? Let's do Brockhampton Honey.
Yeah.
So new Brockhampton album, Iridescence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know,
or mixtape or whatever we're calling
it. It's an album.
Them.
It's an album. Yeah. It's their first album on RCA. Yeah, it's a long project. I picked Honey just because it seems like the standout from I've listened
not
to
a Robin song by
yeah
the way.
Not a yeah. Robin song soon Robin Honey soon
mm-hmm.
But anyway this Honey from Brockhampton is kind of symbolic of where they're at on this album. I love this album. I woke up this morning and I've already listened to it like 2.5 times.
What?
Yeah,
what
I know.
What time did you wake up?
I woke up at 6 a.m.
He does live in Nutley though,
yeah
so
I do
he had time.
It's true. Just walking from New Jersey into
yeah,
into
it's
work.
A couple hours every morning you walk to work.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I love this album. So basically, for a quick backstory on Brockhampton, they put out 3 full lengths last year independently called the Saturation series. They were all really really great,
mm-hmm.
And they signed a big major label deal with RCA and were prepping an album for, I believe, the summer. And then one of the members of that group, Amir Van, their allegations rose of sexual misconduct. At first, the group stood behind him and said, these are not true. And then almost about a week or two later, he was kicked out of the group. They released a statement saying, like, new facts have arisen. We don't have to get into all of that, but obviously it was a very upsetting thing and kind of pressed pause on this group. They put out a couple different singles around that time to kind of, you know, galvanize their fan base and make sure, you know, that they're still here. They are one of the more promising hip-hop groups in a long time, and, you know, they wanted to show that they're still recording, still touring, album is still coming at some point. So now we have this album out, and all the singles that they released in the summer are not on it. It's totally fresh material. I believe they said that they basically just recorded it, everything on it in the past few weeks. And it's great. Like it sounds like the Saturation, I shouldn't say it sounds like the Saturation series. It sounds like a really thoughtful continuation of that series. And Honey is kind of right there. You have all of these different voices chiming in. You have Kevin Abstract, still kind of the leader of the group. You know, you have one of the things I like about them so much is that they have this understanding of hooks that kind of keeps everything together. All these different voices, all of these different concepts. And the hook on Honey is just like, it's kind of ever changing, but it kind of keeps everything together. So yeah, I love this album, and I'm excited to. I really want to see this song live, and I really want to see this album live. But what do you guys think?
I've only listened to the song. I haven't listened to the full album yet. but I love it. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think kind of the way they deliver their lyrics, there's something kind of hypnotic about it. Mm-hmm. The bass is mesmerizing. There's just something about it that immediately like pulls you in and like. Your like head starts nodding like 5 seconds in and you're just like completely along for the ride. And musically, it sort of reminds me of, I feel like, something Moby might have done in the late 90s. Like there's
Ooh.
A little bit of that flavor to it. But yeah, I mean, kind of what you said with all of them like chiming in on the track, they're doing something that just there's not a lot of that right now. Like there's not a lot of hip hop collectives, period. But oftentimes when there is, it's more like kind of a loose collection of people and they all like take their turns like
yeah.
separately, or you know, each song's more of like a solo song. Like they're very much like all of them contribute to a track. In a way that was a lot more common with rap groups in the 80s, but you don't really hear that now. You know, you don't hear like people trading one line and then the next line.
Well, that's the thing,
and
is that
it's cool.
I was describing them like a month or two ago to a friend who was unfamiliar with them, and I was like, they're kind of like if like Wu-Tang Clan sounded absolutely different than Wu-Tang Clan, but still like functioned the same way.
Yeah.
Just like you have like Wu-Tang Clan songs where they're all on it, and then you have some where they're like three of them are on it, but you know, it's still part of like a Wu-Tang Clan project.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, no, I really like it. I just feel like I need to spend time sitting down and going through all of their music because I'm already somehow overwhelmed by what they've put out.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Which I think is saying a lot because I actually don't know when they started or formed. But I feel like relatively recently for how I feel, like I feel the same about their catalog as I do about an artist who's been around for decades.
Yeah.
So that being said, I really like this album, but I have like nothing really to compare it to.
Okay. Yeah. I would say like Saturation 3, which came out in December, is my favorite of those three.
So. I've heard the best things about their live show though. So that is still up there for me. I'd love to see them live.
I saw them in February with our, colleagues Chris and Ross, and it was amazing.
That's weird. I didn't know they played Nutley. That was cool they made a stop there.
Yeah, they played Nutley, the Nutley Diner. Yeah, they played the Nutley Diner.
Wow.
That's where Brockhampton performed.
Cultural hub, Nutley Diner.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's listen to it. Brockhampton Honey from new album and major label debut, Iridescence.
My arms are always open, your fears always rolling, and they're deep and you can't control it. What you want, emotion. My arms are always open, your fears always rolling, and they're deep and you can't control it. What you want, emotion.
I need to step out with no frustration. I need a permanent getaway vacation. They got a permanent hit list, my nigga.
All right, that was new Brock. I'm such
You're
friends with
it?
Them. I'm
Brock?
Abbreviating it.
Halsey actually tweeted, the future is iridescent. So she's a big fan of this album.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe she wasn't a Brockhampton reference.
She also
lived
to it.
Oh, okay. She's like, yeah, the future is iridescent.
And she's like, oh, their album came out today.
Can I, very quick side note, whenever this word iridescent comes up in conversation, I always think of a seventh grade spelling bee where I was in the final five and I lost on the word iridescent.
Oh,
I'm sorry to bring that up.
It's a pretty weird word.
It's a tough one to spell.
It is
One R? What's going on there? Anyway.
Yeah.
I can never spell nausea, so there's that.
Mm.
Fools. All right, well, let's do one of my picks. So we have new Dinah Jane. Song is called Bottled Up, and it's Dinah Jane featuring Ty Dolla Sign and Mark E. Bassie. I don't know how you pronounce his name. Bassie? Sure. But yeah, so Dinah Jane, obviously of Fifth Harmony fame. Fifth Harmony is on hiatus, quote-unquote hiatus. Mm. We'll see if they ever get back together.
She's really holding it down, though, for them with this one.
Yeah, no, it's so Dinah Jane has the new song Bottled Up. It's basically a Fifth Harmony song. I mean, it sounds like, I think the BPM is like more or less exactly the same as what Work From Home was. You know, obviously Ty Dolla Sign is on it. So there's a through line. She literally references Work From Home. She says Work From Home, but he's going to stay up all night with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like, it's a very conscious continuation of the Fifth Harmony song. Like, you know, Camilla left and did a pretty different thing sonically. Yeah. Dinah Jane is kind of just keeping on with what worked for Fifth Harmony. And I'm honestly here for it. Like, I think Bottled Up is a really fun and mm-hmm. strong song. Whether or not, I think it could do well at radio. You know, there's so many factors that go into these things. So it could either, you know, I could either see it being a top 20 hit or something that just totally disappears. Yeah. But I really like it. I think it's really fun. I think it bodes well for her solo future. And I think, you know, and it says something that while Fifth Harmony was an entity, you know, I mean, no offense to Dinah Jane, but, you know, she was not one of the people or one of the members that people were like buzzing about.
Right.
But for her to come out with something as strong, her voice sounds fantastic. It's a really solid song that like I want to return to. I mean, that says something.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think it's really fun. She came in here about a month ago, I want to say, and had a listening session and played us a couple songs, and it was great to see her, and she is super excited about all this, and she played Bottled Up, and I was like, look, the song ended, and I was like, yo, Work From Home reference mm-hmm. in there, and it sounds like Work From Home and Ty Dolla songs. She was just like, yeah, this is what I want to do, and I love Work From Home, and I know fans love it, and you know, I thought it was really fun to just kind of reference it in that way, and I'm totally respectful of
it. It is interesting because whenever I just talked about this with someone else, I can't remember, but whenever these groups break up, you almost assume that they all wanted
hiatus.
To go different ways.
Go on hiatus,
sorry,
Lindsay.
Excuse me, go on hiatus. You always assume it's because they all want to pursue a different,
right.
you know, artistic sound or vision, but. Like, maybe not. There might often be someone who's like, I actually loved what we were doing.
Yeah.
You guys all
like Ringo with the Beatles, basically.
I mean,
he's
yeah,
like, I'll
kind
just
of.
Keep making this album. Won't you listen?
Really good Ringo Starr.
That was so good. He's in the room.
Yeah. Wow. Eerie. Oh, and it reminds me of Liam when he had his solo song. And he was like, used to be in 1D, now I'm free.
Yeah.
But this is like the opposite. I mean, she's like, I was in Fifth Harmony and I want to keep doing that.
Yeah.
That is
actually like a really funny line in Strip That Down, by the way.
I love that line.
Used to be in 1D, now I'm free. Like,
yeah.
What? So, what's going on?
Passionate about yeah. being free from
yeah.
them.
Yeah. I'm free from selling out arenas and making millions of
yeah.
dollars. Who would want such a thing?
Yeah. And then he had to like apologize for that. He's like, no, I just meant like free to do my own thing. I love One Direction.
Right.
It's like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. Go Dinah Jane.
Yeah.
And I will
Dinah
say
Jane
like
Dinah Jane train.
I will say that like having heard a couple other songs that she's done, they're kind of in this vein, and they're similar, and they're fun, and they're just like they're low stakes in a way that's very appealing.
Yeah.
Low stakes is like seems like a negative thing, but it's like,
no, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
Even this, it's like a little low key. This
yeah.
in the production.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way.
She's keeping it bottled up.
Oh.
Maybe the album will be One Harmony. Obvious.
I think the title has to be Someone's in the Kitchen with Dinah.
Oh my God.
All right. Let's listen to the song, I guess.
All right. Dinah Jane featuring Ty Dolla $ign and Marky Bassey. Song is Bottled Up.
I'm drinking, baby, cause I'm
all right, that was New Dinah Jane, formerly of Fifth Harmony fame. Let's do... We have a Lindsay pick, is what we're going to do. We're going to do Gallant and Sufjan Stevens and Rebecca Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Song is all caps, too good to be true. And I'll be honest, when I woke up and saw that there was a Gallant
Don't
and Sufjan song, I'm doing it. I was like, this is too good to be true.
Oh, he did.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I
yeah.
know.
Damn it, Jones.
I tried to stop
but
him.
It's you tried to, and you were right to try to stop me. But this is your pick, so you tell us.
Yeah, no, this is just a great song, a very seamless collaboration, I think. I'm happy that there's a new Gallant coming out. There's going to be an EP, I believe, early October. And it's called This Does Not Fit. So the whole concept behind it is that every song, from my understanding, he doesn't want to be easily identified or easily fit into one genre, one category. I wouldn't be surprised if there are other collaborators on it. I think pulling Rebecca Sugar in was kind of surprising.
Yeah, that's weird.
I've really only ever heard her name in terms of like animation, but she's a songwriter too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that,
surprised
honestly.
Me. So I think that was pretty cool. And yeah, I just love the plucking that's really consistent throughout the whole track. When all of their voices overlap, it's like truly incredible for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's really, really well done.
Yeah, I agree. This is great. And the point that I was thinking about when listening to the song is that I'm really glad that like Sufjan's just like around doing stuff, because
yeah.
mm-hmm. he's like historically he'll like drop an album and then like disappear for 5 years. Like he, you know, his big albums were like 2005, 2010, 2015. But like, you know, he's making Call Me By Your Name soundtrack mm-hmm. singles, and he's working with Gallant. Like, cool. Like, I love Sufjan. He's one of my favorite artists. So to hear this is just like, it's a pleasant surprise that he's being a little playful.
Yeah. No, I adore Sufjan and the Gallant album, which was that 2 years ago at this point? My sense of time is super warped. That was one of my favorite. His debut was one of my favorites of whatever year that was. And I mean, they both have... you know, they're going up. There's a nice falsetto is the wrong word, but there's a high register here. Mm-hmm. But it's super soothing. They're, you know, singing these dulcet tones that sound gorgeous together. You know, there's some weirdness. There's some like sonic ambient stuff in the background. The guitar acoustic plucking you mentioned reminds me of Sufjan in Seven Swans Mode,
yeah.
Which is always a good thing. And
it sounds like, I'm sorry, I just thought of like, that's like, yo, Sufjan's in Seven Swans Mode! Like Travis Scott sicko mode.
Yeah, Seven Swans Mode. That's good. It has that,
I don't know what to call it. Like, boy bands in the early 2000s would always use that, what is that sound?
Singing.
Singing, no, yeah.
I think that's the sound.
I should have said this point.
Drums.
I wasn't prepared. It's kind of like a drum sound. I won't even try to recreate it, but there is
synthesizer,
that
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Darn it.
Harmonies. Harmonies.
Dancing.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll say that's it's sort of, and this is, I don't mean this negative, although it sort of sounds like a put down, but at points it almost sounds like a Maroon 5 song. Like, listen to it, there's parts of it where,
maybe
like, the harmonizing,
the
and that I feel like we're, like, kind of reaching for this. All
right,
thing.
You guys lost. You guys have lost stuff. Me in the last 60 seconds of this discussion. You're like, it sounds like a boy band. It sounds like Maroon 5.
It's honestly.
All right, guys.
Does.
I'll
yeah.
see you guys later. I'm gonna listen to this Sufjan Stevens Gallant song.
But both of what Lindsay and I are touching on is there's an element of this that, you know, you think of Gallant and Sufjan coming together. This is a lot more polished and commercial sounding than you might expect that collaboration to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, so let's listen to it. It's Gallant, Sufjan, Rebecca Sugar, Too Good to Be True.
Too good to be true. I lay down the cautious like the way you fold your arms. Too good to be true. Take a little pieces before you fall apart. Now you're shaking from something. Here come the assumptions. You've got skin on the table, but you're unafraid.
All right, next and last, and
saving the best
not
for
least,
last.
Jason's pick, new Rita Ora.
Damn it, Lindsay.
Let You Love Me.
Yeah, Let You Love Me. So Rita Ora finally has a U.S. album coming out. It's coming out, I believe, in November. Let You Love Me is the lead single, and it's really good. I don't know, like,
and that's all.
That's
folks.
It. I mean,
but I kind of agree. Like, it's good. That's that.
Yeah, I mean, Rita Ora makes pop music, and you know, for those listening to this podcast, I'm the Rita Ora fan. Of
the Rita Ora.
Office.
That's good.
I'm just like constantly defending her. I wrote a big thing about her last year. Did have pizza together one time. I lost my train of thought because I was thinking about having pizza with Rita Ora. But she makes this type of pop music that sounds completely out of step. I was going to say out of touch, but it's out of step with modern pop music, which is like much more downbeat and much more hip hop influenced. This just sounds like a pop song from like 2008, although a really good pop song. Like she's kind of making the music that doesn't really abide by any of pop music's current trends. But I think it's always well produced, and it's, you know, I think that she's just is a total professional about this stuff. I really liked Your Song, her single from last year, Anywhere as well, which is a little bit more dancey. Yeah, this is great. I mean, I like a very quick spiel about Rita Ora. She's obviously huge overseas. She has like
a dozen fans.
All right, guys. I'll see you later. That was actually very funny. She has like a dozen top 10 hits in the UK, and she's like a big star over there. And she has like a handful of really good singles. I think that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying she's the greatest pop artist ever. I'm just saying that like she has a handful of really good singles
good.
And
consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll shut up now.
She sounds good on this. She sounds great, actually. I think the song is good. I hear what you're saying with her sound kind of being out of step with the times. I think that's not the case with this one, though. This one kind of makes me think of like Bieber with Diplo, but more of like a light version of that.
Yeah.
I kind of like that too.
Okay.
And it's like, it's fine. I mean, I think I don't know. It's fine. I don't dislike it, but I'm not like strongly in favor of it either.
Yeah.
Lindsay with a commanding yes.
And she's just a very strange case. I mean, you know, they made a huge, huge push for her 6 years ago with Party and Bullshit. It didn't land as big as they thought. And, you know, I mean, then here we are 6 years later, and it's her first U.S. album?
Her first U.S. album.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is really crazy.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason was that she had a huge dispute with Roc Nation, and it took her years to get off. And then last year she signed with Atlantic Records, and she put out a couple singles that didn't hit the chart. And I think now they're just saying like, we got to put this album out. And I'm glad they're doing that.
I mean, but she's been in the public eye both with award show things and fashion and whatnot. So good for her.
Good for her.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It's Rita Ora, new song, Let You Love Me. All right, that's new Rita. That's all we got.
That's all we got.
That was a fun one.
That was fun.
Start with a legend, end with a legend.
An icon.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, thank you for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, or if you desperately hate the podcast, in which case I don't know why you're still listening, but please rate us on iTunes.
Yeah,
give us
a
little review.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. And you know,
so
you have to. The challenge I would set for anyone listening is that you have to top the review that with the subject line "Joe sounds cute," because that is forever. That
yeah,
was
but
forever.
He wrote
the
that one.
Yeah,
doesn't count.
Yeah.
All right. On that. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch you next
week.
Bye,
guys.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.